This episode of Anxiety Slayer is brought to you by the Anxiety Slayer Academy, offering 30% off our popular How to Calm Your Fragile Mind course. Get the course at anxietyslayeracademy.com and use the coupon code SPRING to get your 30% off. Today we're exploring the power of choice for protecting your mind as seen through the lens of Ayurveda, the ancient Indian system of medicine and wellness. Welcome back, Ananga.
Hey, Shen.
I'm so excited to be digging into more about Ayurveda and the mind, and you are the perfect person to talk to about this. And with so many requests to share more about Ayurveda, this is a lovely space to begin with, digging into the three gunas and how we can empower our mind.
Yeah, this is one of my absolutely favorite topics, and it's the bedrock of Ayurvedic psychology, the Ayurvedic understanding of the mind. We've talked about the doshas, the mind-body types, and how they have their different psychological propensities. But when you bring in this factor as well, the gunas, then you get much more nuance and it becomes very, very interesting. Mm. Ayurveda teaches that our minds are influenced by the interplay of three gunas. Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas are their names. Sattva represents purity, clarity, and harmony. Rajas embodies activity, passion, restlessness, and tamas signifies inertia, darkness, and stagnation. Guna is a Sanskrit word which is translated in various different ways, but the most common one is quality. So three qualities of material nature, and we can see these qualities through everything. We can see them in trees, in food, in herbs, in animals, in the way we think, in the colors in our life. And we'll go into this later in a bit more detail, but just to give that initial idea of how broadly the gunas affect our life, these three qualities of nature. And sometimes they're described as being like three primary colors. I don't know if you ever did this, Shan, but when I was a kid, I used to go up to the TV and put my eye right on the screen. And I used to like looking at those three dots. You were quiet and then you laughed. So I think it was just me. You didn't do it, did you?
I think it may have been just you, my love.
It was just me. Okay. Well, if you had done it, you'd have seen these three colors, green, blue, and red. And then when you back off, those three colors make up a vast array of moving images and pictures. So that's a simple idea of how the modes work.
And it's important to realize that in today's fast-paced world, it's easy to get swept up in the chaos of daily life. And this is when we allow Rajas and Tamas to dominate our minds by being swept up in that space or in that news story or in that eclipse or whatever is happening. But by making conscious choices that are more in alignment with sattva, we can protect our minds and cultivate a sense of peace and balance. And that's really what we're digging into today. We want you to understand what these gunas are and how you have choice in being more consciously aligned with sattva.
Yeah. And it's very experiential as well. There's things that we're going to cover that you might think, oh, I've done that. And I did feel it lifted my mind. So it's there. We're living it. We're living in within these characteristics, these qualities. For me, it's been life-changing to have this understanding of the interplay of influence and choice, that we have these qualities that influence us, and then we have the opportunity to make choices that put us under better influences. So there's always that proactive opportunity for us to understand and think, oh, okay, if I choose this over this, I'm going to feel better. I'm going to feel calmer. I'm going to feel brighter. And that's really where the significance of these gunas, these qualities, comes in with these teachings from Ayurveda.
Let's dive into how we can harness the power of choice to protect our minds from an Ayurvedic perspective. There are three key principles that I think are going to be most helpful.
So primarily, Ayurveda emphasizes the importance of nurturing sattva. So this is the guna, the quality of harmony. It brings clarity to our mind. It brings a sense of knowing what we need to do. One of my teachers once said, if you want to know how much sattva is in your mind, and it is like that, we can be mixed. We can have mainly tamas and a bit of rajas and a bit of sattva, or we might be mainly sattvic in the mind, and then the other two are coming in their proportions as well. If you go back to thinking about the primary colors and the mixing, it can all be mixed. But we're aiming for as much peace and clarity, which is under the domain of sattva, in our mind as possible. So one of my teachers once said, if you want to know how much sattva is in your mind, see how clear your thinking is. See how clear you're about making a decision and not needing validation or confirmation from others, but you just know it's the right thing to do for you. Then you know that you've got sattva in your mind. So it brings peace, it brings clarity, it helps us make good choices, which bring more peace and more clarity and more good choices because it's supportive of that positive development. So that can mean starting your day peacefully with some meditation, choosing nourishing foods. Sattvic foods are fresh, colorful, don't involve harming others, plant-based, grains, good, clean, healthy eating, nourishing foods that support your body and mind. And a very simple sattvic way to start your day is to shower. And you can feel the change that makes on your mind. When we go to sleep, we're under the influence of the lower qualities, the tamasic qualities. And when we wake up and get in a shower, that brings clarity and freshness to our mind and body. So that's a really simple way.
It made me think, too, that while you were talking about sattva, that it's also that clarity of mind is also about trusting yourself. When you trust yourself and your knowing is sattva.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a peaceful congruency. Mm-hmm. It's not egotistical. It's the healthiest self-esteem. You just know what serves you well. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point.
And then moving into rajas, the guna of activity and restlessness. Boy, that's something I can identify with when I'm out of balance. Because of my nature, I can get very impatient and very restless when I haven't taken the time to be in that sattvic place, when I haven't started my day with the spaciousness that I require, when I have put myself in situations by choice that make me feel like I'm want to be anywhere other than in my body. It's not that all of rajas is negative. It's not. We need some level of activity to grow and be productive. But excessive busyness can really stress you out and bring on burnout. And that restlessness is really what I was speaking to just a couple of seconds earlier, is that, oh, wait a minute, I don't have to continue to be busy and do all day long. I can create more spaciousness so that I don't burn out, so that I'm not stressed. Why am I taking on all of this? And then again, that leads to boundary setting, doesn't it? By consciously choosing to slow down, to prioritize and say, oh, okay, you know what? The reason why I'm feeling so impatient and restless right now is I didn't prioritize self-care this morning. And I know how important that is to start my day. I'm going to course correct. I'm going to make a better choice tomorrow that supports me so that I can be in more harmony and balance and have some stillness and protect my mind from that negative effect of rajas.
Yeah. And how to pull up into the more peaceful and the higher quality. We can still get things done. In sattva guna, we can still do what we need to do. We just do it in a steady, peaceful way. We're not overstriving. We're not burning out. We're not overly ambitious or self-serving, which is where rajas really falls into. It becomes overly self-occupied. It wants acclaim. It wants recognition. It gets very frustrated if things don't go its way. And it leads to misery because we don't feel satisfied we feel frustrated, and we tend to behave rashly, which just gets us in more trouble.
And then we must also be vigilant against the influence of tamas, the guna of inertia and darkness. Just think about being in that space of being a couch potato, just being lazy and apathetic and just not really wanting to do anything more than what they call now bed rotting.
Oh, wow.
That's a new phrase that...
Yeah, that's Thomas.
that I've been hearing, that's Thomas, where people are just laying in bed scrolling or laying in bed watching one show after the other, or just having an absolute zero motivation to do anything else. And I've been there. I've had those days where I just want to be in that space of checked out, being checked out. But we get into trouble when it becomes one day to the next, to the next, to the next. And unfortunately, that can be the case for many people who are sort of stuck in that inertia and don't know how to counteract it.
And that's a really great way of describing it, because we do get stuck in that heavy.
Yeah, like quicksand.
Yeah.
You know, sucked right in and not knowing how to get out.
It is very sticky. So that's where we talk about being under the influence, is that that guna, that quality, has its impact on us and on our mind. And that sometimes we simply can't make a good choice because we're under the influence of that quality of nature.
Mm.
And there's different things that really lock us into it, like inertia. It's just sleeping way more than we need and being under that influence, and then not getting up and moving, putting on clean clothes, bathing, doing the light and bright things that we know are healthy, eating stale food, leftovers, old food, not eating fresh, vital, clean foods.
Mm.
There's so many things that can come under the category of tamaguna that really can sneak in on us. And it's something to be vigilant about, because it can make us feel very low, very mentally unbalanced, very unhappy. But there are things we can do.
There are. And there are simple things too, that if you are really, really stuck, and I know a number of our listeners have been there, and I've had family members who have been there, and it's just an invitation to get outside for 5 minutes, even if you have to time it. And if you can, to be barefoot on the ground, taking deep breaths, to just kind of break the pattern.
Yeah, get in the light.
Yeah, get in the light. And then from there, you can start making additional choices to uplift and energize, whether that be exercise or additional time outside in nature, or seeking out activities that get you out of the house and inspire you and invigorate you. And it doesn't have to be something that costs a lot of money. It doesn't have to be very far away. It doesn't have to be all of these grand plans and gestures. It just needs to get you moving in the direction of something that brings you joy and something that nourishes your body, mind, and spirit.
Another really important point to mention with these qualities of nature is that they're quite contagious, which goes both ways. So if you're around somebody that wants to draw the curtains, sit in the dark, eat yesterday's pizza, watch something violent, you will feel that come into your energy and into your mind. And if you spend time with somebody that loves nature, they're very positive, they're very grateful, they make beautiful fruit salads and eat them with gratitude, and they want to talk about volunteering, good things for others, spiritual practices, meditation, they're going to lift you up.
Yeah,
that's going to lift you up. So it's very easy for our minds to get influenced by others around us and by our environment, because these qualities come into everything in our life if we know just to watch out. And as we've often shared, it's a really helpful thing when working with these kinds of influences on our mind to throw yourself to the end of the day and say, what will I be glad I did? What will I feel better for when I get into bed tonight?
Yes.
And if it's, you know, taking a walk, meeting an upbeat friend, reading something beautiful that's been by your chair for weeks, taking a shower, whatever it is, get that in the day. And then you know when you go to bed that night, you've done something to lift your mind up into a better energy. And it gives you momentum to continue doing it because you've done the good things and you're acknowledging your progress.
And every single choice you make has the power to shape your mental landscape.
Yeah.
And help you cultivate greater peace, clarity, and well-being. This episode of Anxiety Slayer is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling energetic or maybe ready to recharge? Sometimes people-pleasing can make you feel worn out due to a lack of boundaries, or maybe you've been a bit more solitary during the winter months. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves super thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't make you feel depleted. Therapy can be helpful for setting boundaries, and it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/slayer today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/slayer.
Let's explore a little bit more different mind types according to the three gunas. So we have a beautiful passage here from one of our favorite books by Dr. David Frawley called Ayurveda and the Mind. And on our Patreon, we shared about this book in some detail. We had a really great conversation about it. So firstly, sattva. Dr. Frawley teaches that to have sattva predominant in our nature is the key to health, creativity, and spirituality. He says that sattvic people possess a harmonious and adaptable nature, which gives them the greatest freedom from disease on both a physical and mental level. They are inclined towards balance, and they're considerate to others, and they take care of themselves. And they see all life as a learning experience and look for the good in all things. Even in adversity and challenges, they strive to understand. Even when there's illness in the body, they strive to understand and not merely suppress.
And Rajas seems like a good one for me to tackle. Rajasic people have good energy, but can often burn themselves out through excessive activity. And their minds are usually going at a pretty quick pace and can become agitated. These folks are seldom at peace. They're just go, 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 go. These are the people, the friends that you have or the family members who have super strong opinions and seek power over others, often regardless of the means. They are impatient, inconsistent in dealing with their problems, and really don't want to take the time or responsibility to get well. You'll hear lots of excuses from these folks. And they'll often blame others for their problems, including their therapists, the people who nothing is ever good enough. And while Rajasic people can accomplish their goals and are generally in control of their lives, if they're not balancing things out by working on their spiritual purpose and being awake to consciousness, they can easily be dominated by the ego and be in that space of just ego, ego, ego in the pursuit of whatever it is they want, whatever material things, whatever they define as happiness. And life can sometimes bring them shocks that cause great suffering, especially when they feel like they've lost control. These people love to be in control. The other thing that I've noticed about Rajasic people, and maybe you have too, Ananga, is that even when they reach their goals, it's kind of a footnote, like, okay, been there, done that. They're still not happy. They're still not rejoicing in whatever that they've created because they're on to the next thing before they could even think about celebrating what they've just created.
Yeah, which is why the Vedic texts describe this quality of Rajas as bringing misery, because there's no satisfaction and there's no mental peace. But you're just trying. It's like, no, if I sort this thing out, if I do this, if only this person would just behave as I told them. And we're just at war all the time because we can't control. The point you just made about shocks, I'd like to touch on that briefly. That's something we see very often with the Pitta mind-body type, which is an achieving type. It's an intelligent achieving type. So it tends towards a rajasic nature. When anxiety manifests in a Pitta person, it's always a huge shock.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fit with their outlook on life. They can feel it's ridiculous to suggest that the symptoms they're experiencing are anxiety. You know, if you're really rajasic, you're going to think that anxiety attacks are for wimps. So that's a huge shock. The way that shock comes is quite intense, and it can come in a variety of different ways. And it can come from just running, pushing through until you can't, and then it hits you. Very interesting that the way this palette paints out and gives us these descriptions of life experiences.
And the final gunas to explore is tamas, or ignorance. Tamasic types of people have deep-seated psychological blockages. Their energy and emotion tends to be stagnant and repressed, and they really don't know what their problems are. They don't seek proper treatment and usually have poor hygiene or poor self-care habits. They accept their condition as fate, kind of, this is what it is, this is who I am, this is how I am, and don't take advantage of the methods that are available, the suggestions that could really help them alleviate a lot of what they're wrestling with. And tamasic types also allow other people and negative influences to dominate them. And they don't have any interest in being responsible for their own lives. They prefer not to deal with their problems and will not really let others know about them. So they just kind of sit with their own stuff. And then this only allows the problems to get even worse.
Yeah, it's quite a downward spiral. So again, for this section of the episode, credit goes to Dr. David Frawley in his excellent book, Ayurveda and the Mind. He spelled out how these states can impact us. So Ayurveda teaches how we can have a healthy and peaceful mind by making choices that bring us up to the quality of sattva, the quality that's described as the mode of goodness. And, you know, when we just talked about tamagun, that's really is the extreme representation of that state. We can all experience tamagun creeping in different ways in our life. And if we know it and know the feel of it and the look of it, then we can address it. So that's really what these teachings are about, being able to make choices that bring us up to a more peaceful and brighter state of mind. And these choices come from all areas of our life, our diet, our environment, our interactions with others, the colors we wear and we have in our homes, our level of compassion, our habits, our mental self-care or lack of it, the way we exercise. Everything we eat, say, and do can be characterized by the gunas. And once we know this, we have the opportunity to learn more about sattvic eating and habits, the way we conduct ourselves, the choices we make to help lift our mind to more peace and clarity.
The gunas affect the mindset of the three dosha types in different ways as well, which I find fascinating. And sattva influences the most positive aspects of each balanced dosha, while tamas brings out the worst character traits of the doshas. And then rajas emphasizes mental activity, and it needs taming and lifting up to sattva for us to feel happiness or peace. So again, this brings us back to the choices that we're making and to have the ability and our choices to be in that space of more balance.
Yeah.
And it's a dance. It's a dance. It's not a, okay, I'm there.
It is. And it always will be. Because they're changing all the time. We'll experience them differently on different days as well. So it's always a dance with our mind-body type and these qualities of nature. David Frawley describes it as, you know, you don't jump in a boat and expect it's just going to go where you want it to take you. You have to constantly adjust your sails to the weather, to the sea, to your mind, so many things. You constantly, you keep your eyes on the prize and you adjust your sails. And that's just how it is. And if we don't like it, we've got tamagun in our mind. And if we feel like, okay, well, I can learn to do that, I'm open, we've got more sattvagun in our mind. We're open to the change and doing the work for the greater good, because we always look for the greater good.
Before we wrap up today, Ananga, would you share an example of how the doshas and gunas work together to kind of reveal our psychological nature?
Let's take the Vata mind-body type, which we talk about so much because it's the one most likely to experience anxiety. When Vata mixes with Rajas, with the mode of passion, the mind gets stirred up and overstimulated and unsettled, and it's more likely to experience anxiety. When we can lift the Vata mind up to Sattva Guna, you're going to see a combination that brings wisdom, spiritual interest, humor, compassion, creativity. They're going to be able to really make the most of this doshic setup. They're also going to remember to eat and not skip meals. When it goes the other way into tamas, then you can have that beautiful creative Vata energy goes a bit to the dark side. So then you could have an artist that stays up all night, forgets to eat, keeps the curtains drawn, keeps out of the light, and they're just not having healthy habits, mental care. That's how it can go in that direction. Vata are more harmful to themselves than to others when they go to the lower modes. Pitta, however, is really fascinating. Pitta, in the mode of goodness, you could have a beautiful teacher, kind, with a bright mind, compassionate, can really impart some good wisdom and good teachings to you. When they go a bit more rajasic, in the middle energy, more passionate, you're going to see some sarcasm come in, some expectation, some pressure, a bit sharp. When Pitta goes to the dark side, because it's got intelligence, you could see somebody manifest that's of danger to others, from somebody on the road that's just a really angry, out-of-control driver, to a genius criminal, because they've got the intelligence to put their darkness to use, the worst use.
It makes me think of Putin.
Okay, yeah, it makes me think of a show I've never watched, but is it Dexter? There's some show with
a... Yes, yes, yes.
...guy, and he's like so clever and so dark. I've never seen it.
Yes, I have seen it, and he is a serial killer,
mm-hmm.
and he only kills really, really bad people.
Okay.
But that's exactly what we're talking about here, is like somehow it's going to be okay. It's okay because he's only taking out bad people.
And no one's going to catch him, right?
Yeah, Dexter's a perfect example of this.
Okay. And then Kapha. Kapha in the Sattva Gun has a beautiful service attitude. They're loving, they're loyal, they like to cook for others, they like to support others, they like to serve others, they've got physical stamina, reliable, dependable, kind, good heart. And when Kapha goes in the mode of ignorance, they're going to cook and they're going to eat it all. They're going to overeat, they're going to oversleep, they're going to serve themselves, and they're going to start to become less kind. It affects the mind in that way, it overshadows the mind in that way. And again, these things can all be, I'm giving quite extreme examples, but they can all be quite subtle And this is the benefit of knowing this science of the qualities of nature, so that we can watch ourselves.
Sure.
And if we think, you know, we're sleeping a bit too much, or we're laying in a bit longer in the morning, and then our mind becomes grouchy and a bit low, then we know it's time to get up, throw the curtains open, put some nice music on, get in the shower. The idea is that we can notice patterns and then help ourselves.
And drawing to a close, you can empower your mind. You might want to listen to this episode again and be sure to look at the show notes and really think about your life and where you are in this space and what you might do to enjoy a more sattvic life, because there are simple changes that you can make. And if you need additional support, reach out to us. We'll share additional resources with you. And you might even consider checking out our Patreon for even more information and additional pieces about Ayurvedic psychology.
Yeah, there is some on Patreon, and there will certainly be more. There's the discussion on Ayurveda and the mind. And this week, I'm going to be sharing an exploratory writing practice that can help us learn about our gunas and our influences and choices, and support us in noticing patterns and lifting our mind up.
That's super potent. Thank you, Ananga. Thanks for listening to Anxiety Slayer. Just a quick reminder that you still have 2 days to get 30% off our popular course, How to Calm Your Fragile Mind. You can get the course at anxietyslayeracademy.com. Just use the coupon code SPRING, and the discount will be taken at checkout.